Loving God, open our hearts to hear your word. Set our hearts on fire with love for you. Stir our hearts to do your work in the world. Amen. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. One of the most profound and yet complex verses in the entire New Testament. The epistle writer echoes Jesus' own words from John's Gospel. Abide in me as I abide in you. Live in me. Dwell in me. Endure in me. Jesus speaks these words as he tries to help his disciples understand who he is. Jesus, the vine. We are the branches shooting off that vine. We are rooted in the vine, our very being stemming from God. We are born, we are nourished, we flourish, we wither. The entirety of our lives rooted in God. So what does this mean? How does it affect how we live our lives? What does it look like to abide in God? To abide in love? Because this isn't simply romantic love we're talking about here. The Greeks had four different words for love, as they attempted to make clear this complicated and nuanced concept. Eros is the most simple to understand. Love rooted in attraction, the passion of romance. Philia makes sense too. Brotherly love, the love of our friend. Affection and loyalty born out of shared experience, common interest. Then there's storge, the empathy and bond shared in a family, the love and connection that exists between parents and children. But those three aren't the love we're talking about here. No, here we are talking about agape, unconditional love, love that gives of itself sacrificially, without expecting anything in return. The love of God for humanity, for all creation. The love that is God. This is the kind of love in which we are called to abide, to dwell, to root our very lives. And it is then the kind of love we are called to share with the world. In order for us to truly abide in love, abide in God, we must attempt to emulate God's self-giving love. Theologian Ronald Cole Turner writes, "We know God by seeing what God has done. But seeing is not enough. We know God in the fullest and most authentic sense only when the love of God flows through us. God is love. Only the one who loves can know this love that is God. Love is not a concept known abstractly, It is an action, lived concretely. It is not enough to remember Jesus' self-sacrifice, to think about it, or even be moved by it. We must live it. To know the God of love is to live the love of God. Everything we do, everything we do in the world is rooted in the love of God. When we serve others, when we show them God's love, it is because we have first experienced God's love ourselves. Yesterday, St. Mary's shared God's love in big ways. Early in the morning, 11 of our parishioners joined a group of 30 volunteers with Rebuilding Richmond Together. They worked to make improvements on a home that badly needed them, so that those who dwell there might be safe, secure. Yesterday morning here at the church, we shared God's love with the family of Buff Harmon, ministering to them in their grief as they celebrated his life and buried him just outside those doors in our churchyard. Ushers, altar guild, friends in the pews, all were bearers of God's compassion and mercy and signs of the hope of the resurrection. And then in the afternoon, we gathered together once more to celebrate the love of two young people as they entered into a covenant with God and with each other. The love that they share, the love of their family and friends, the love of this entire parish, are all powerful expressions of God's enduring, unconditional love. Every time we serve someone in our community or around the world, every time we offer a word of comfort or visit the sick or simply offer a quiet hug, every time we remind someone that they are not alone in their suffering or in their joy, we are embodying God's love in the world. Vessels of agape. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Yes, we are called to embody that love in the world. But before we can do that, we must first abide in it ourselves. And this is perhaps the most challenging thing of all. We have to allow ourselves to truly believe that we are worthy of God's unconditional love. To ignore the voices around us or inside us that tell us we are not enough, or that God couldn't possibly love us fully because we have to let go of our self-criticism, our shame, our fear, and bask in God's rich, generous, unending love, to dwell in it, to root ourselves in it, to abide in it. So I leave you this morning with one of my favorite poems, written by the well-known 17th century Anglican priest, George Herbert. Love bade me welcome, yet my soul drew back, guilty of dust and sin. But quick-eyed love, observing me grow slack from my first entrance in, drew nearer to me, sweetly questioning if I lacked anything. A guest, I answered, worthy to be here. Love said, "You shall be he." I, the unkind, ungrateful, ah, my dear, I cannot look on thee. Love took my hand and smiling did reply, "Who made the eyes but I?" "Truth, Lord, but I have marred them. Let my shame go where it doth deserve." "And know you not," says love, "who bore the blame?" "My dear, then I will serve." "You must sit down," says love, "and taste my meat." So I did sit and eat.